Radio.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Oh, doing good. It's been kind of a busy weekend, but it's been fine.
Excellent.
Yeah, we just hosted Izzy's mom and her friend Marsha for the week. It was
fun
little busy time that just flew by, but yeah.
Playing with 70-year-olds.
Yeah.
We, on day one, we spilled our milkshakes on ourselves and had to do a full load of laundry. Somebody wouldn't wear their shoes outside and somebody lost their jacket.
I'm sorry, did you say seven or 70
for how old they were? It's the same.
Apparently. Yeah.
I'm cold.
I'm hungry. I can't find my jacket.
I don't want to eat that.
Marsha, where are your shoes? I don't want to wear shoes. Do you have coffee? Well, that's the difference.
Yeah. I'm not hungry because you had 8 cups of coffee because I had coffee.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. So really looking forward to that trip next week.
Yep. I won't be doing anything like that, so it'll be fine.
oh, Mike, if you complain about not having a jacket or something, oh boy.
I think we'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be really jacket weather.
Yeah.
Isn't it going to be like 100?
I don't know about 100, but
95 and humid. Yeah. Woo-hoo. It's going to be great. We're ready for it, babe.
Let's see. Where are we meeting Mike up first?
I guess in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, in Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about.
Going to the zoo on Saturday.
Yeah, according to my thing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's only going to be 98, 97.
Yeah.
Monday, it's next Monday. Not this coming Monday, the Monday after. It's going to be 101.
Pass. All right. yeah, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Thursday, 97. Oh, 89 and then 79. So that's a little better.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I won't let you change that, babe. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Let's see. And then Cleveland. Cleveland has more rain, it looks like.
Nice.
What day are we in Cleveland?
I think it's like Monday and Tuesday that next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like
we're driving Monday.
Alrighty. We'll have some rain.
Yeah. You know what?
Typical Ohio.
You can be 95 degrees as long as you got rain.
Yeah.
I think it might just be the three of us again.
Like always.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes the cats.
Yeah, even the cats are sleeping, it looks like. They're not.
They're exhausted. Are you kidding? They had to keep eyes on those strangers the whole time. Oh, I know what we do need before we start. Steve, do you need a beer?
Of course.
Do you need an old chub?
Yeah, let's get an old chub. Let's do it. That's a scotch ale.
Yeah.
Mike, you need one?
I got a drink, but I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Ask me why he was so busy this weekend.
He said he had a baby. Yeah, why were you busy this weekend? Was it with the lady?
Got my daughter this weekend. Her birthday party is tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
We had a wedding to go to last night.
Oh, yeah, with the Jerry Seinfeld guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, everyone decided to start making speeches. Person on our side of the family was fine. It was like 4 minutes and stuff. But this guy, must be from the other side of the family, kept going on and on for 15 minutes. It sounded like a really bad stand-up routine at first. And it kind of, he started putting like Christian talk into it. It was like, ugh. Ooh. But I had the table have some good laughs because I made like bad jokes. Like, hey, take my wife and... what's the deal with communion and stuff like that?
Oh, nice. Weddings are the best.
And by the best, you mean you try and avoid them at all costs?
I mean, occasionally I enjoy people watching.
We had alcohol, though, which was good. We had a free bar.
Oh, that's good. Open bar. That's the best way to do a wedding.
What? It's apparently International Axe Throwing Day today.
We're just learning this now.
We would have gone to the
X. Wait, no, it's on the 13th.
Oh, the 13th? Oh.
There's still time.
We can go to the X-throwing place. Yeah. The X-throwing bar.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. You guys have those in Ohio, right? Like the X-throwing places. It's like...
I'm sure there's a place around here that has an X-throwing.
Yeah, it's almost like the new, cornhole. It's like people throwing axes or something. Except there's rarely a target and people just like throwing shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may have to check that out.
Yeah.
Be the X-Men. The Northmen. Just show up, got a hobby tattoos and stuff drawn on. Have you seen the Northmen, Mike?
Not yet.
Oh, if you got Peacock, it's on there, but it's an intense movie.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And brutal. It's a brutal movie.
Just like Captain Power.
Yeah. Say, on that note, shall we get started?
Yeah, let's get started. All right.
The legacy of the Metal Wars, when man fought machine and machines won. Biodreads, monstrous creations that hunt down human survivors and digitize them. Volcania, center of the Biodread Empire, stronghold and fortress of Lord Dread, feared ruler of this new order. But from the fires of the Metal Wars arose a new breed of warrior. Born and trained to bring down Lord Dread and his Biodread Empire. They were soldiers of the future. Mankind's last hope. Their leader, Captain Jonathan Power, master of the incredible power suits which transform each soldier into a one-man attack force. Major Matthew Hawk Masterson, fighter in the sky. Lieutenant Michael Tank Ellis, ground assault unit. Sergeant Robert Scout Baker, espionage and communications. And Corporal Jennifer Pilot Chase, tactical systems expert. Together they form the most powerful fighting force in Earth's history. Their creed, to protect all life. Their promise, to end Lord Dredd's rule. Their name, Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies.
And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Oh, we are continuing this look at Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Oh.
With episodes 15 and 16, a two-parter.
Ooh.
A Summoning of Thunder, part one and part two.
Oh, my.
Oh, but babe, we're not alone for this one.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, right.
I would hate to summon thunder alone. That's right. Unless I'm in a good bathtub.
It's like, so many beans. Yeah. But with us, we have Michael Backford. Welcome, Michael. Woo!
Hey, I'm kind of like the mentor of this podcast for these episodes.
Yeah, the third co-host.
Yeah.
The dead dad in the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your facial hair is more on point.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I did shave though.
How are we going to recognize you?
I'll show a picture or something.
Oh my God, she's going to shave his beard and take his glasses, like wear contacts or something. We're going to be like, who is this guy? But yes, a Summoning of Thunder. Ooh. Oh man, everybody excited for this one? It's a two-parter. It has daddy issues, apparently. Like, it's going to be great.
Oh, snap.
So there's strippers in it?
Yeah, oh, God, I hope so. That'd be great. No. You know, Captain Power. Daddy issues. You know, Captain Power has his daddy issues, you know, so he made the ultimate Google search computer, yeah. The hologram of his dad, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, mentor. All right, well, I guess without further ado, are we ready? Or babe, I don't know, are you drinking something over there?
Oh, I am. I believe we may have the same thing.
Oh.
From Oscar Blues Brewery, we have the Old Chub.
Ooh.
A Scotch Ale, and it is 8% alcohol by volume.
Sounds about right.
Steve, shall we pop our tops?
My top? On! Oh, stereo!
Stereo tops. Ooh. Yeah, definitely very malty right on the nose. That's like dark toasted malts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely get the caramel nose. Steve's going to take him the sip.
Yeah, tastes like scotch. Like like yeah. A little diluted scotch with a little more effervescence to it.
It's like scotch without so much burning. Yeah, mm. This is delicious. You get a little bit of that peat in there. Yeah. Get yourself some Old Chub.
Mm. It's like a perfectly carbonated highball.
Yeah.
How about you, Michael? Did you drink anything on your end?
I'm drinking some Simply Lemonade, Blackberry Lemonade.
Ooh.
How's that?
It's delicious and refreshing.
Excellent.
That sounds delicious and refreshing.
Yep.
Perfect during the summertime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess without any further ado, should we get to the first episode?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Affirmative. Can we try that without the yawn real quick?
No.
Thanks, Cameron.
Sorry. Don't know where that came from.
It's been a long week. All right. One moment. I'll get this thing started here.
Power on.
Captain Power and the soldiers of the future. And whatever I cannot achieve through reason, I will win. Through fear.
Death! No!
Every year, like clockwork. You want some company?
No, thanks. I'll be back.
Where does he go?
Back.
Upset. The secrecy.
Yeah, it's necessary for the security of the base. You have this replaced, Landry. Calibration's off.
They object to being blindfolded before they're brought in. I can't say I much like it either.
Well, then double their salary. Double yours, too, if you like. Money won't mean much soon anyway.
Thank you, sir.
Now remember, John, Biomechs can process fast. They can block any predictable moves. You gotta outflank them, surprise them.
If they see movement on the right,
hit them on the left.
I know, Matt.
Good. And?
And move through them. Metal gives under direct, focused impact.
Right. Let's see what you can do. Ready? Go.
That's excellent. See, you're using your mind, not just your hands.
That's what we have that they don't. That's why we'll win this.
You watch the overconfidence, John. You're good, but they're good too. Don't ever forget that.
Yeah, well, I think that's enough for one day. John, I'd like to use you on the next supply run, okay?
Right. Let me get my things.
Overmind.
We are here.
Is the power sufficient for your needs?
It will suffice. He who waits within me requires great power.
Yes, the first of my warlords. He will be a power no human can oppose. Raining fire from the sky.
He will enforce the will of the machine.
When his ship's done, it'll outfly anything in the air.
How about the transit gates? Are they up and running?
Yeah, almost. I've got three online now, and the other three will be on by morning. Here, take a look at this. Yeah, I've got underground generators set to create gates at five specific sites around the country. The south, east, north, west, and midwest. You fly into one, and you come out any of the others. Plus the one outside the base.
Short-range teleportation. If there wasn't a war on, we could make a fortune. You sure you got all the bugs worked out?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Well, we'll give them a fight, that's for sure. You do think we're going to win, don't you?
Eventually, yeah. It's gonna take time. Maybe a long time. I don't know, how'd it go so wrong, Matt? Taggart and I, we wanted to end war, not fight. All the armies of the world under one voice. Ours. We could have abolished war like that.
It wasn't your fault, Stuart.
Oh, yes, it was. I knew Taggart was obsessed with power, with the idea of immortality. The dead of night, he hooks himself up to our computer, Overmind. And he lets it into his mind. And it changed him. And it changed Overmind. The two of them actually fused together as some sort of entity. 24 hours later, biomechs are marching all over the planet. The age of the machine, he calls it. Oh, Matt. What have I done?
Gambled, Stuart. And if you'd been right, you would have gone down in history as the man who ended war.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. One way or another, I'm going to end this one. I swear it.
Okay, that's it. One more trip and we're all set. Better hurry, Strom's coming.
Power at 100% of maximum. Magma control coils overheating. We have to shut down.
Maintain power!
Give him to me, my warlord, my bio-dread. Show me.
ComCon 1. I think you ought to see it. I was monitoring the open frequencies. It started coming in a while ago. Fades in and out. Here.
ComCon 1. ComCon 1. Do you copy? We need help. Something hit us. Some kind of creature.
We can't stop it.
You have had your chance to surrender. Now feel the will of the machine.
Bionic machine with encoded DNA, which means it's self-replicating. And it's autonomous, a living, thinking machine. Oh my God, Matt, this changes everything. A couple more of those and nothing's gonna stop him. Okay, where's John?
He's finishing up the mid-supply run.
Make sure that he doesn't leave and seal off the base. Nobody goes in or out.
From the field, sir. Biodread Sauron has broken through four major skirmish lines and eliminated major command and control centers in those regions.
Excellent.
The will of the machine is with us.
Taggart.
Dismissed. Overmind?
We have been reviewing all tactical files. Data indicates a potential threat to the Biodread.
That's impossible. He's indestructible. He regenerates when damaged. Besides, no one knows how he works.
There is one. Dr. Stuart Gordon Power. Data banks indicate he is constructing a base from which to strike at us. A base which remains hidden. He is strong and knowledgeable in the ways of technology. He must be stopped.
Yes. Yes, I see. If he is operating a base, he needs power, supplies. Run a scan on the ComCon 1 supply depots. Record all sudden changes in inventory.
Working.
2 hours late, but better than never. Did they tell you why the delay?
Computer error. It canceled your dad's clearance until we could go back and verify. They had to know what we wanted and why.
Impossible. Dad's got ultraviolet clearance. Only the president can cancel. Wait. What was the code on the cancellation?
OM7 on a Blue 7 frequency.
Wait, no. We abandoned the Blue 7 after the code was broken by... Overmind. Come on. We've got to get out of here. Fast!
Look out! Look out! Come on!
Get out of here. Contact my dad when you're clear. I'll draw it off. Whatever it is. Someone has got to warn my dad! Now move it!
To me. Bring the boy to me.
Understood.
No.
Identification code, Dr. Stuart Gordon Power. Request access to Phoenix Project. Verify voice print and execute. Initiate recording. Database journal 397, Mark 13. Now the power suits are finished, I think. Now, if I'm right, this should turn the battle against Taggart. I recommend preliminary testing prior to...
Hello, Stuart. I know you can't answer, since that might give your position away, but I do hope you're receiving me, for your sake, and John's. He's here, Stuart, with me. These are dangerous times, Stuart. I suggest a meeting here. Come alone. You will not be harmed. You have 1 hour. Beyond that, I cannot be responsible for John's well-being.
Computer, load the mentor program. And execute on my mark. Initiate the last word program. Execute on voice verification, Matt Masterson. Integrate the data logs of the last 10 minutes. Priority code, Niner. Delta Niner.
Sorry, John, but it's the only way. When you're older, you'll understand. I promise you.
And I promise you this. Harm my father, and you wish you had killed me right here and now. I'll chase you down if it takes the rest of my life. chase you down. It takes the rest. It's my life. It's my life. It's my life. It's my life.
You knew he would go back, did you not, my lord?
He returns there every year, on this day.
He is alone. Attack now, and you can finish him. It's the logical thing to do. If Overmind knew...
I see no reason to bother Overmind with this.
We are already aware, Lord Dredd. The will of the machine is clear. If chance provides the opportunity, it must be seized. You know the truth, Dredd. You have the moment.
Come. Power is in Sector 17, Grid 6 by 2. We are en route to that location.
Understood. What are my orders?
Digitize, if possible. Obliterate, if necessary.
This is Captain Power. I'm closing in on Dredd.
Watch for base station. Check power levels.
We took a few hits, but we've still got plenty of power.
Energy systems full.
Hold on. I'm gonna blow this baby.
Oh, to be continued.
Ah, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh.
Where the shit's going back?
Yeah, maybe you should. And get a real seat, maybe. Yeah. Oh, so that was part one of A Summoning of Thunder.
Ah!
Aired February 7th, 1988. And I found this out of the thing. It's the 15th anniversary of Dr. Stuart Power's death.
Ooh.
So, yeah, 15 years difference between Captain Power now and the, I guess, teenage one, let's say.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean... Yeah. Yeah, if he was 18, he'd be 33.
Okay, I guess that checks out. Okay, all right, we'll go with that. Both episodes come from director Otto Hannes.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He was the second AD in First Blood, The Dead Zone, first AD in a couple smaller things, 8 episodes of this, some episodes of Twilight Zone, War of the Worlds, White Fang, American Skies, Ninja Turtles Next Mutation, that 90s Lassie series, and Bratz of the Lost Nebula, which was a Jim Henson claymation thing. But of course, this comes from the main writer, J. Michael Straczynski. He's the one, creator of Gemini and Babylon 5, Jeremiah and Babylon 5, Thor Underworld, or wait, sorry, Thor Underworld Awakening, World War Z, Ninja Assassin, all kinds of stuff. Starring in this episode, we have Anthony Dean Rubes as Landry, who I have no idea who that is offhand. You think it's the nerdy assistant guy?
Maybe. Sorry, what was the name again? I'll Google it.
Anthony Dean Rubes, R-U-B-E-S?
I don't think it's... Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, it's the redheaded guy.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Well, he has 9 credits.
All right.
Apparently, he was a village student in Yentl. And a hoodlum and witness. And this.
He was also in the Amityville Curse.
Oh.
And Witness?
Yeah, Witness. Yeah, yeah. He was a hoodlum in there, I guess. All right. We also have Vincent Orle as Commander. Only this. I assume it's like somebody on set or something. I don't know. A relative of somebody.
It was just one of the like set builders. And they're like, hey. You fit this costume, you can be on it.
How'd you like to be a commander? Yes, sir. Yeah. Jonathan Wilson as Soldier Jack. I think he was the one given the message back to power or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But he has 71 credits. Starting with this, he was also gay activist in PCU, Marty and Tommy Boy, panicky assistant in Kids in the Hall Brain Candy. Was Scalrag in 27 episodes of Redwall, whatever that is.
Oh.
The titular Iggy Arbuckle in 27 episodes of Iggy Arbuckle. He was Steggy in 17 episodes of Harry and His Bucket Full of Dinosaurs. What? And voices in a bunch of kids stuff. So yeah, good for him. Oh, but of course, Dylan Neal as young John Power. What? Teenage Jonathan Power? He has 92 credits, basically starting with this. And then he's Andrew Douglas in Prom Night 3, The Last Kiss.
Ooh.
207 episodes of Bold and the Beautiful. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Dalton Boomer Jonas in 3 episodes of JAG.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, Dalton.
That's right. Oh, the show where the lead guy was the Jonathan Power clone in the other episode.
Yeah, I'm noticing a lot of JAG actors on this.
Yeah. He also played David in 40 Days and 40 Nights, everybody's favorite rom-com, question mark. Aaron Jacobs in 10 episodes of Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Witter in 20 episodes of Dawson's Creek. Psych, the L word. He played Hermes in Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief.
Oh my.
Dr. Anthony Evo in 10 episodes of The Arrow. And Bob in 50 Shades of Grey and 50 Shades Freed. So yeah, still kicking it. No. I also realized this is like really the first time we see Dr. Stuart Power, the dad, as more than mentor. So guys, played by Bruce Gray, 180 credits before he passed away in 2019.
Oh, dang.
Let's see, just looking through his IMDb though. He was the mayor in Dragnet, the Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks version.
Mm-hmm.
11 episodes of this. A lot of TV stuff, like basically everything in the 80s and 90s, like including like Doogie Howser, Santa Barbara. Gosh, this is all the same year as when he was doing this. All right. Yeah, Murphy Brown for an episode. What's something else we would have seen? Oh, he was Admiral Chakotay in one episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
What?
Chakot?
Oh, no, that's Chakotay. Oh, so he played the...
The dad?
Maybe? Yeah. Or like...
Because in an episode of Next Gen is Admiral Chekote.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not because...
It's not quite Chakotay. Yeah, yeah, because he's got like an AY or something. Yeah, but yeah. All right, Admiral Chakot, I guess. There we go.
Stark's probably yelling at his phone.
Yeah, well, he doesn't remember that episode either. Let's see. Oh, an episode of Briscoe County Jr. Always a treat. Oh, he played First Gentleman in an episode of RoboCop. They must have had a lady president. Episode of Tracy Takes On. Oh, he played the president in Spy Hard.
Oh.
Oh, shit. He was Sky Marshal Deans in Starship Troopers.
Already?
I assume he got nuked at some point. Episode of The Outer Limits, episode of JAG, Rodney Miller in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, 5 episodes of Queer as Folk, making a comeback this year, guys, a scant 20 years later. Colonel Thomas H. Maguire in Cube 2, Hypercube, Mr. Richard Segerstrom in SWAT, a couple episodes of ER, West Wing. Oh, he played Surak in an episode of Star Trek Enterprise. All these Star Trek guys. Oh, he was the billboard manager in an episode of Big Love, one of our favorites.
Ooh.
Congressman Hughes and Evan Almighty.
So he's very accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. He always plays that older, distinguished gentleman. Oh, yeah. 4 episodes as senior partner in How I Met Your Mother. You know. Ferguson and Crimson Peak. Oh, he came back in the My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. He was the Baptist preacher in Rules Don't Apply, that Warren Beatty movie everyone forgot existed. And yeah, passed away shortly after that.
All right. Well,
there we go. All right, so this episode, oh boy.
Oh yeah.
We start off with a montage of all the shootouts from the first 15 episodes or whatever. And then at the end we get a little bit of a spoiler, I'm assuming, for the end of the next episode. It's like, Dad, no, and he like chucks something and there's a big explosion and nice little green screen of John jumping away from an explosion. Yeah, pretty sweet. And then I was having a nightmare. You get a Captain Power waking up in his quarters. And he goes walking out to the, you know, the living room area, I don't know, command center or whatever. And Hawk's out there And he walks up and goes, I'm going. Yep, I figured you were. Every year, just like clockwork. And he like, I don't know, walks out of frame, and then Pilot comes in. Huh, where's he going? Back. Okay. So then we go to this nice little interesting little memorial piece at the base of the like the tree of life, it looks like. but you know, was a Dr. Stuart Gordon Power, father, brother, doctor, savior, whatever it says. And then we come to a flashback. Now keep in mind, this is Captain Power's flashback we're going into, because that'll come up later in the episode. But we see Stuart Power. He's walking around with his nerdy assistant, who kind of looks like Bradley Whitmore. What's his name? Bradley Whitford. Anybody else get that? Like,
yeah.
But basically, the assistant guy's like, look, you know, we're having some issues of, you know, blindfolding people to get a beer. And he's like, well, whatever, double their salaries, double yours too. Money ain't going to mean shit here in like 3 days. You know?
That was a good one.
Right. We then cut to young John Power doing some pull-ups while Hawk's like, I don't know, teaching him to be a strategist and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
When they think you're going to zig, you should zag, and, you know, stuff like that. But and then he's like, all right, he had enough warm up with these pull ups and stuff. Yeah. Cool. Fight these five droids. Beep, beep, beep. And then we see, you know, young John Power fighting these droids without a power suit or anything. And it's like, good for him. Yeah. See some more of that in the show, you know? But Dr. Power, he comes walking in. He's like, good job, John. Good job. you're almost ready for the new mission I've got for you. What? And then we cut to Volcania, and we see Human Dread, you know, Taggart, before he becomes Cyborg Dread.
Yeah, definitely got some Nazi Germany vibes going.
Oh, yeah.
With the haircut and the outfit styling.
Yeah. And he walks into the throne room we normally see him in, but there's no throne yet. But there's Overmind, you know, the little, foggy disco ball things spinning around. And starts talking to it, and he's like, what you wish of me requires a lot of power. Yes, my first warlord will help us bring down all humans, and the machine will rule. We then cut to Dr. Power and Hawk. They're like designing the power jet. That's right, this is the prequel, baby. And then they casually mention short range teleportation. I'm like, wait a fucking minute,
what?
Like, oh yeah, we'll be able to go to these central hubs from here instantaneously.
I bet that will never come up again.
Yeah, they're also talking like moving 1,000 miles. That's not short range teleportation. That's more like the Fly, where it's like across the room, you know. Like small steps, then we start doing Star Trek shit. All right. While talking about that, they casually, you know, drop the backstory of Taggart. Like, the two of you guys were working together to bring an end to war. Yes, but a sudden and inevitable betrayal set that, of course, out of the way. Like, yeah. All right. We then cut to Volcania, and Sauron is revealed. Cut to commercial. And then when we cut back, Sauron's just lighting up this like SWAT team, like in full riot gear.
Yeah. He's training the men. Or blowing up the men. Either way.
He's blowing those babies. Yeah.
No.
But then, one of the guys, I guess Soldier Jack or whatever, he sends a signal back to Dr. Power. And he's like, oh, help us. There's some thing killing everybody. Oh, no. And then he gets digitized. Wait, what the hell? See, this is why I needed the pen that didn't leak ink. No.
Captain Power was watching, like, or something.
Yeah, Dr. Power was like watched the digitization before the camera got blown up. He's like, man, it was just a few more of those. There'd be no stopping the Dread Order or whatever. And he's like, all right, seal the base. No one in or out. Damn it. And
oh, son of a bitch.
We then come back to Volcania, and Overmind's talking to Taggart, and he's like, there's a threat to Sauron and all of our plans.
Dr. Stuart Power. He must be stopped at all costs. He knows he's knowledgeable of our ways and is making like a hidden base and stuff.
We need to find his hidden base. All right, then we need to find who's using a bunch of power.
I'm checking on it. Goo, 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 goo. We then cut to John and the nerdy assistant guy. They're sitting at a place complaining how they're like 2 hours late or whatever, and then they find out the code's been broken. And I'm like, well, then wouldn't they have shown 2 hours before if it was a trap?
Well, so nobody realizes it was a trap till our current Captain Power figures it out.
Yeah, it was 2 hours late, and then that's when Sauron and everybody shows up to ambush. But it's like,
yeah, no. So he went. He's like, hey, sorry, I'm late, man. And they're like, oh, you gotta recheck in because your dad's codes didn't work or whatever. Like, wait, what do you mean my dad's codes didn't work? Only the president can cancel his code. Oh my god.
So Sauron ambushes. And he's like, run, warn dad. And John's like trying to distract him away from the assistant guy. But yeah, eventually gets like cornered. And and right before he's about to be just eviscerated, not even digitized, just eviscerated. You know, he's got the blaster hand out pointing to John. Taggart calls in and is like, Sauron, stop. Bring the boy to me.
As you wish.
And they fly off. And then we get Stuart. He's back at the power base or whatever. And he opens up the power suit closet with the power jammies now available on
Yes, power Etsy, jammies! I'm assuming. Yeah. Steve needs power jammies.
Yeah.
Power on.
Ooh. Babe, keep it in our bedroom. Blast, blast. Okay. Is Michael still here?
Hey. Steve, yeah, I'm still here.
That leads us into Gootober.
Hold on. I'm going to blow this baby. Wait a minute. anyway, while he's admiring his jammies, he gets a call and it's Taggart. And like how Taggart's even like, look, I know you can't respond because I'll give you a pace, but hopefully you can hear me. We have John. He got an hour to get here. Bye. Click.
Peace out, bitches.
Deuces. And then we see Dr. Power. He's like programmed the computer to like, I guess, give all access powers to Hawk. And then we come back to Volcania and Taggart's, you know, talking to John like, hey, shit happens, bro. You'll understand when you've grown up.
I swear to God, I'm going to kill you.
And he's like, yeah, that's cool. All right. and then like we see we hear the
I swear to God.
And then we realize we've been in Dredd's flashback. Wait a minute. What is this, the quest? We started a story from an old guy at a bar and end with closing a book? Get out of here. But yeah, Lackey, of course, everyone's favorite Lackey. He shows up and he's like,
we know Captain Power goes to the memorial site every day. We should kill him now.
Like, no, that's, you know, bad form or, you know, whatever.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then Overmind's like,
I actually think that's a pretty good idea.
We should definitely kill him any chance we get.
And Dredd's like, fine. Let me get in the jet. That's right. And we finally, episode 15, we get to see the Dredd jet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember this toy being so fucking awesome.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, they, I think him and Sauron fly off side by side. To be continued. Ba, 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 da, da. Ba, ba. Guys, that's part one. What do we think?
I'd say this is a pretty really good episode. It's nice getting the backstory on it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Captain Power's dad as he was. And get to see Dredd how he was too, and the creation of Sauron and all that.
Real it's good. Like all the backstory. How about you, Ben?
Oh yeah, this is awesome. I'm super excited for the two-parter. This one feels a little bit more comfortably paced because they've got like the two-parter.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying that. And I feel like the characters are really, or the actors are really feeling their roles.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like everybody feels really comfortable now and it feels like it's getting its groove on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. I think this definitely benefits from being the, you know, 40 minutes as opposed to 20 minutes, or, you know, 35 instead of 16 or whatever minutes, and able to, you know, let it breathe or whatever. Oh God, can you imagine this being like all this being in the, like, before the first commercial break?
Oh man.
It'd be a lot, but yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm liking it. Yeah. We'll save our knee pads and stuff until the end of part two, but we ready for that?
Let's do it.
Power up. Right.
Power on. Captain Power and the soldiers of the future.
Hi, Dad.
Overmind, give him to me. My warlord, my bio friend.
Zora, bring the boy to me.
Identification code, Dr. Stuart Gordon Power. Request access to Phoenix Project.
These are dangerous times, Stuart. You have 1 hour. Beyond that, I cannot be responsible for John's well-being.
28 minutes, 30 seconds to target, Lord Dredd.
Maintain scan.
Power has let his emotions make him vulnerable. Foolish.
It is an anniversary of loss, Lackey. The death of his father. 15 years. A long time ago. Stuart, it's been a long time.
Stuart? Hello? Stuart?
Voice print, Matt Masterson, acknowledged and verified. Executing last word program, Mark. Greetings, Major.
Stuart.
Negative. I am mental. Dr. Power has given me his likeness. His stated purpose was to assure that his son would never be without him.
Never without him. Where is he? Where's John?
That data is available, but my programming requires that the Phoenix program be run first. Executing sequence,
expect to be coming back. There's much you need to know, my friend. Listen carefully.
I have come for you.
Who are you? State your purpose.
I am Sauron. I enforce the will of the machine.
Are you a biomech? Limited intelligence? Or can you think? Reason?
Yes, I think. First there was darkness, but now I think all the time. I fight, and I think. I fly, and I think. And I listen to the voices. And I find something in my program I do not understand. There is something in the dark.
Where were you developed?
You will forget everything you heard, and you will come with me now.
So, when activated, the suits create an electrical field that prevents the wearer from being digitized. Each suit carries its own arsenal of weapons and communications gear.
What's to prevent someone from stealing one of these?
Prior to activation, nothing. But the suit must be activated here. And when that happens, the suit conforms to the biological makeup of the first wearer. After that, no one else can wear it without it being damaged.
It's just what I need. With this, I can go after Stuart and John.
Warning, Major. Suits are untested. Critical tests need to be completed. There could still be defects.
Possible consequences?
50% possibility of death upon activation of power suit.
Oh, you'll pardon the weaponry, but I want us to talk freely, alone.
Where's John?
On his way.
He'll be here in a few minutes. Well, what do you think of the facilities? A little fancier than our old lab, hmm? All the power anyone could ever want is routed through this room.
Dangerous stuff.
Yes, but controlled. At least once the final touches are administered. I've made breakthroughs here you can't even imagine.
Well, I'm sure it's all very fascinating. What does it have to do with me?
I'm offering you the chance to work with me. Stuart, I'm trying to be reasonable. We were friends once. Remember, you and John gave me this.
Now, the Lyman Taggart that I knew would never have ordered the slaughter of thousands of innocent people.
They're resisting the inevitable.
It is cold-blooded murder.
I digitize as many as I can save.
And stick them in that obscenity overmind? And you call that mercy? Oh, wait, that's right. I forgot. You're gonna save the world by destroying it. Seems to me I've heard that before, and always by someone who thinks that he knows what's best for all of us.
If you just listen.
How many more will die, Taggart? How many more innocent human lives are gonna be wasted for your dream of a machine age? Thousands? Millions? Tens of millions? And where does it stop?
I could burn you to the ground right now, Stuart.
Then you do it. Or don't you have the courage, is that it? Is it easier to have those machines out there do the killing for you? Or is it possible that there's still some little speck of humanity left in there that Overmind hasn't managed to erase?
Dad!
John!
Are you okay? I'm okay. I was just worried about you.
I'm okay.
How touching. Now move away from the door. And now that we're all together, we're going to talk, you and I.
My programming requires me to warn you again. There is a danger.
I heard it. Now here's some new programming for you. When I turn this thing on, if anything happens to me, send a tight beam transmission to Earth Force Headquarters, Pentagon. Turn over all power base facilities to their control. Ask them to call in an airstrike on Volcania. If he's let down his guard enough to let Stuart in.
But Dr. Power and Jonathan...
will most likely be dead if I don't get there in time. Stuart would like me to do it. But not until, whatever happens, happens. Is that clear?
New programming accepted.
Are you, programmed to say good luck?
Good luck.
All right, Matt, let's see if you know what you're doing. Power on!
Thank you.
And so it begins.
Hang on, Stuart. I'm on my way. Time to target?
8 minutes, 30 seconds.
Come on, Stuart, just stay alive 9 more minutes. That's all I ask.
No, absolutely not.
You're being unreasonable. All I ask is that you let Overmind touch your thoughts. Merge as I did. Learn what I learned. If you only understood, you'd work with me, not against me.
If I agree, will you let John go?
Dad, no.
Will you let John go?
I see no reason why we can't make. Yes?
Sir, we've picked up something. Coming your direction, fast.
Identify.
Unknown configuration. We've thrown everything we have at it. Nothing seems to stop it.
Zoron?
Yes, Master!
Enemy craft on approach vector. Locate and terminate.
It will be done!
If you're hoping for rescue, I'd advise you not to bother. Though this base is not fully operational, there's nothing Sauron can't shoot down. Now, let's return to the terms of your surrender. You accept my conditions.
Yes, yes. Just let John go. Lyman, he's no use to you. It's me that you want.
Very well. You have my word. He will be released. After you have done one last thing. I know that you've constructed a base to use against my forces. Give me its location. After this has been verified and the base eliminated, he will be freed. If you are sincere, give me this information. And you are sincere, aren't you?
Yes, yes. I'll need some time.
I made you an offer out of respect for our friendship, because you could be an ally in my cause. Away from the door.
Too bad. Now you'll have to be digitized, stored like all the rest. In spite of your insolence, you will be given immortality. But some price must be paid. I didn't want to do this, Stuart, but you leave me no choice. The machine demands an example be made. This won't hurt. I promise.
No!
Hello, anybody? Come in, we need help.
Do you copy?
John, Where are you?
On top of Taggart's place. Some sort of balcony. Dad's here.
Hang tight. Stay where you are. I'm almost there.
My face.
It will strike dread into all who oppose the will of the machine.
Yes. Dread.
Emotions are the enemy of order. You are now one of us. Immortal. Perfect.
Yes. Yes, I understand. The past is gone. From this day on, Lyman Taggart is dead, and Lord Dread lives. That is my command.
2 minutes from target, Lord Dread. Orders?
We have sound?
Yes, Lord Dread.
I miss you, Dad. I miss your wisdom. I miss having you to talk to. It's never been the same. Hoxsons is best.
Leaving. Activate the afterburners and we can be there before.
Sauron?
Yes, my lord?
Return to base. We will proceed alone.
Power. I'm closing in on Dredd.
Watch for base station. Energy systems full.
Hold on. I'm gonna blow this baby.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, part two has the same director, writer, stars, all that fun stuff. So episode starts off. We get a quick sum up of part one with the blah, blah, blah. And then we have Lackey playing the role of R2-D2 in Dredd's Dredd. Right? Like, oh, he came along for the ride? That's cute.
He lives to serve.
That's right.
3 hours and he'll target.
And so then we start a flashback to 15 years ago. Yeah, we see Dr. Power. He's showing up at Volcania. And Taggart's there standing with a gun like a fucking Bond villain.
Yeah.
Welcome, Dr. Power.
Good evening, Dr. Power. Yeah, it's amazing. The cross-arm pose with the gun poking out is pretty sweet. Yeah, he's like, hey, we should chat real quick. We then cut to Hawk, you know, waking up from his nap or whatever, just came back to command center. And he's like, Stuart, where you at, buddy? And then the computer turns on and we get the first hologram showing of Mentor. And he's like, Stuart, are you in there? I'm like, no, I am Mentor. I am a supercomputer. And yeah, basically, I like Izzy's comment when he popped up and like, so Dr. Power chose to be in that outfit with the giant shoulders.
No, he changed into that outfit to record that.
Yeah.
And then changed back.
It makes sense. But amazing shoulder pads. And of course,
ooh, yeah.
Because Mentor's been voice activated, now they must execute the Phoenix program.
Oh!
And the closet opens up to reveal the power suits.
The power jammies!
And there's a nice little recording from Dr. Power to Phil Hawk in, like, okay, these are some pretty sweet suits, so pay attention. Come back to Volcania, we have a young John Power, you know, tied up in the, I don't know, interrogation room or whatever, and Sauron comes in and introduces himself, and he's like, I am Sauron, I am the, I don't know, right hand of the Robo Empire. He's like, oh, so you're just a robot, you don't think or anything, right? No, I think, and I hear voices from the dark that tell me to do things. I'm like, wait, where is this going to go? What is happening right now? But he's like, oh, never mind, forget what you've heard, I'm going to take you to Overmind now. We then come back to the power base, and Mentor's Phil and Hawk in, like, all right, so these power suits, I mean, basically once somebody wears them, they're like dragons or baby chicks or something. They come attached to one person and
yeah,
they become damaged to anybody else, so, you know, choose them wisely. Also, FYI, they're untested, and there's a 50-50 chance you're going to die the first time you try it on.
Right?
Gee, thanks, Stuart. Jeez. We then cut to Stuart and Taggart. They're chatting back and forth, and Taggart's like, no, listen, I'm offering you a job, you know, side by side. We can, like, really make this go over so smoothly. It's great. And then... Stuart mentioned something like, there's a sliver of humanity in there. Remember when me and John gave you that cute little music box because we're grown-ass men getting a music box?
Two grown-ass men, a father, son, gave their friend, a grown-ass man, a music box. And obviously a very serious man.
Yeah.
Like a businessman.
Like a German. I don't know. But yeah. So we were like, oh, yeah. It's like, I wanted a Best Buy gift card and you gave me a music box.
Right?
But then John's brought in and he's like, John, Dad! Like, hey, just step away from the door. Let's talk. And I'm like, isn't that what you were just doing? All right, whatever. So then Hawk starts suiting up. And I like how he's like, you know, he's got the jammies on. He's talking to Mentor and he's like, hey, so... call the president there at the Pentagon or whatever. And if something happens to me, then, you know, give them full control. It'll be great. Because you said 50-50. He was like, aren't you programmed to say good luck or something? Good luck. All right. Power on.
Yeah.
And then Hawk falls down in the suit. Roll credits, guys. What do we think of?
We killed Hawk. It's amazing they killed him off that early in the series. Wait,
who knew the Hawk in the rest of the series was a cologne? Am I right?
Yeah, big shock.
Right, what a twist. M. Night, get on it anyway.
So, where could you find yourself on the social medias?
But Hawk's fine. He eventually like wakes up and is just like, oh, well, I guess it worked. All right. Oh, sweet. I've got wings. Fly off. I'm sure they're like, oh, by the way, this one has wings, so you'll probably want dibs on that. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, here we go, guys.
Yeah.
If you had your choice of the power suits, which one do you want?
Oh.
Do you want the winged Hawk version? Do you want the cloaking scout version? Do you want the big titty pilot version? Do you want the Captain Power? Or, of course, the mobile assault unit, a tank?
I don't know if I'm strong enough to carry the mobile assault unit. Like, it might crush me under its own weight.
I'm sure there's some assisting, you know, it's like the thing in Aliens.
But I am seriously afraid of heights. So it's either going to be the power of big titties or it's going to be the tank.
Nice. How about you, Mike?
I would take the cloaking one because if I go out to a restaurant and want to try somebody else's dish, I could cloak myself as Guy Fieri and act like I'm on the show and try out their dish.
Yeah.
Just take a big handful of like their giant super colossal burger or whatever. Oh man, this is Flavor Town, baby. And then you change to somebody else so you don't have to pay the check.
Yeah,
practical. I like it.
Yeah. Steve, how about you?
Yeah, I was thinking the scout thing, the scout outfit for the same thing. Just to, it's basically as close as you're going to get to like an invisible man suit.
Yeah,
just shenanigans ensue. But I don't know. Captain Power has those neon shurikens, and those are pretty sweet too.
That's true.
No, man, the flying one would be awesome, right? You know, save so much frequent flyer mileage and, you know,
yeah,
don't have to worry about gas prices.
You just have to power on.
That's right. What powers those things? Don't worry about it. I plug it in once a week, you know, unless I'm getting shot at, then, you know, evasive maneuvers. So Hawk flies off, commercial break. Taggart wants... is basically trying to convince Dr. Power to like let Overmind just let him into your brain for a second. It'll be real quick.
You can just see everything I've seen. See things no one else can see. Do things no one else can do. Six demon bag and whatnot.
That's right. And then of course Dr. Power's like, well, will you let John go? And like it was like, sure, yeah, whatever. Yeah, he can go. I see no problem with that. But then they get a distress call or whatever, and something's flying around and taking out all of our guards. Sauron, go eliminate whatever the hell this is.
We also cut to John trying to blow the shit out of a couple of dreadbots?
No, he's still in the room. Oh, like, okay. Like he's like kind of like edging towards the door.
But okay.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. Yeah, so we get the little air battle between Sauron and Hawk for a bit.
Yeah.
And then we cut back in. Stuart's like, okay, fine. I'll hook up to Overmind or whatever. Let's just let John go. And then this is when Tiger's like, well, no, now I also want the location of your secret base. And you know what? I think I'm just going to digitize you with this gun. And like, is that how a gun works?
You live forever.
Yeah, you'll be immortal. You'll appreciate it once it happens. And I'm just like, wait. So your whole plan was to like, yeah, sure, I'll hook up to Overmind, whatever. Just let the sun go. Like, you know what? On second thought, I don't need to do this shit. I don't need to be nice. Tell me where your secret base is. You know what? I'm just going to digitize you. I'll get it that way. But then Taggart like starts aiming the gun or whatever at John, and Stewart's like, no, and throws a rock or something to like knock it away at the last second. And then the fight ensues, and we see John like fighting all the droids or whatever, and he grabs one and like uses them as like a shield while like shooting the gun around him and stuff. And yeah,
blows the head clear off of one.
Oh yeah, headshot. Yeah, then we get a nice little fist fight between Dr. Power and Taggart.
Yeah, just
two old guys just wrestling and punching. And then John gets out on like the balcony or catwalk or whatever, and he's like, hey, is anyone there? Can you come help me? And Hawk's like, John, is that you? Where are you at? I don't know. Taggart's place. I don't know. It's in the middle of Skynet. I don't know, man. Come pick me up. Follow my signal or something. That's cool, man. I'm on my way. And then we come back in, and Stewart and Taggart are having like a pipe fight and just cling, cling, cling. And then Taggart like hits something. It looked like it was like a pipe or something, but then like the computer came on and was like, well, losing all power 2 minutes until this place explodes. Like, wait, what? What the fuck was that? I don't know. But then, they start wrestling some more, and like Stewart has Taggart pinned. He's like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. This place is gonna blow. And Dr. Power's like, no. This ends here.
Oh,
the line must be drawn here. And then boo, 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 boo. And we get the green screen thing with John like being thrown off the catwalk. But he's hanging on to the side as, you know, fake fire all over the place and like exploding noises. Yeah, but then, he's about to lose his grip as Hawk gets there, catches him, and flies off. Like, we know John survives, right? Unless he's also a clone? I don't know. But, but yeah, as they're flying off, it's like, where's Stewart? Where's your dad? Like, he was inside. And he, like, passes out or something. I don't know. We then cut to the throne turning around, revealing Lord Dredd. You know, we've seen this before, but this is the first time he's being informed by Overmind,
you're one step closer to the machine.
I feel pain.
And of course, Dredd goes, Mirror, Mirror, let me see. Oh no, I'm a cyborg now. And like, no, we've improved. It's great. Check out your cool throne that you're on. He's like, yes, from this day forth, I will be known as Dredd, Lord Dredd.
Totally
Dredd. Definitely not Lord Vader, yep. Lord Dredd. Yep, that's Dredd. Me. Yeah. From now on,
yeah. Okay. I am the wall.
I am the wall.
So then we cut back to present day. You know, again, we're in Dredd's flashback, and 2 minutes to target. Here you got Lackey going 2 minutes to target, and then we see that Dredd brought along the music box that was the gift or whatever. I'm like, nobody caught that. Nobody saw him stash that under his cape or something. All right, whatever. But then we get the video of Captain Power, you know, at the graveside, like, hey, Dad, sorry you're not here to see this. Doing his thing. And he's like, all right, bye, I gotta go. And Lackey's like, he's leaving.
Sauron, return to base. We will proceed alone.
And then you see him like look in the music box, and it fades to the music box being set on the grave as the whimsical music plays. Da, 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 da. Roll credits.
Dredd is human. There's still some humanity left.
Is there? Yeah, I guess there is. Guys, that's a summoning of thunder.
All right. A lot less thunder than I thought was going to be.
Right? Or summoning.
Right, no one was summoned.
Dredd did summon Jonathan Power to the base.
That's true.
Summoned by Sauron. I don't know, but yeah, not really. But unless his middle name's Thunder or something, I don't see the title making sense. Mike, what'd you think?
This is a pretty good second part of this two-parter. Brought more of the backstory. Just a really, really good episode. I'm sorry, I'm not like bringing a bunch of insight into it. It's just, these seem like so far, these are like probably the, I think these are like the two best episodes I think I've seen. Yeah. Because it seems like it's, they found their spacing right now. So it's like, I wish they would have been able to do more than one season, because I think they could have done really, really good if they kept on going, but we only got the one season, so.
Nice. How about you, babe?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, like Mike said, like this episode made me start thinking like, oh man, we're getting towards the end and there's not more and they're finally getting their rhythm.
Yeah. Like I said, the two-parter thing definitely makes them, the pacing's good. Obviously, this is giving all the backstory to stuff that, you know, was kind of alluded to when, you know, like Hawk would say something like, you know, when you, your dad and Taggart were friends, they were supposed to put an end to this, but we never really saw it played out. And you know, now we're getting to see it even with like young John Power and stuff. Like, this is a two knee patter. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got what, 6 episodes left. And I think a couple of them are 2-parters and stuff too. Yeah. Basically we're down to the final stretch, guys. Are we excited to see where this goes?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, as always, thanks for joining us on these episodes. We really appreciate it. If we were looking for you on other podcasts and stuff, though, or social media, where would we be able to do that?
You might find me on the Twitter at Michael Bagford. You might find me on Instagram at Bagford Michael. I post my album of the day. That's what Dread might be jamming out to in the beginning credits that I just kind of noticed tonight.
Yeah.
You'll see my podcast appearances and just whatever's going on in my life. So check it out.
Nice. Mike, what music do you think Dread rocks out to? Like what album is he listening to?
It looks like he's playing air keyboards, so maybe he's listening to some like Elton John or Billy Joel, maybe.
Oh,
or Styx, because Styx always gets mentioned on the show.
Oh shit, yeah, it's totally Styx. He's definitely a Dennis DeYoung fan.
Yes.
Oh, arigato, Mr. Robot.
See, and it's thank you, Mr. Robots. There you go. Perfect. We figured it out. We hacked the secrets.
Or when he's feeling human, it's Lady. Speaking of Lady, babe, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at StixFan69. No, wait, hold on. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Vetus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias at Untidy Venus. I also have an Etsy shop where I sell my goods and wares at untidyvenus.etsy.com. And I have a Patreon at Untidy Venus. Over on Patreon, come join my Sticker of the Month Club, guys. It's amazing. How about you, Steve? Where can we find you?
Oh, well, of course, we're on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Tell your friends. But if you want to hit us up direct, you can hit us up at EILF Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. We also have EILFmovies.com for our official website if you want to check that out. Guys, sad news. We're not doing the movies at Broovies anymore.
It's true. They changed management and they don't need us anymore.
But fear not, because we have a Discord. That's right. Woo! We have our Discord movie nights every other Wednesday. And man, that means we can show all kinds of crazy shit, regardless of how many children show up.
Stream it in the comfort of your own underpants.
Oh, it's fantastic. I don't know when this is going to be airing, but yeah, just check it out. First and every third. Get all the details at EILF Movies on Twitter. You know where we at.
Steve, I just want you to know, if you ever need a backup account, Tank Ellis 69 is not taken on any social media at the time of this recording.
I better get it before Sven does.
I just wanted you to know that I was looking out for you.
Ooh, we got to look up if Lackey 69 is taken too.
Oh, let me check. Meanwhile, keep up.
I live to serve 69. Wait, what?
Lackey 69.
Blow this baby 69.
Lackey 69 is taken. It looks like it's a Japanese account.
Ah, okay. You win this round.
I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
I'm Mike.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Power off.
This is Captain Power. I'm closing in on Dredd.